skyscrapers that rose from the low ground beside the bay. The city was a mosaic of jewel-like colors set in green, veined by streams and dotted with gleaming ponds and pools. Seen from above, blocks of old row houses defined streets that no longer existed. Instead, bicycles and electric carts and the occasional horse moved through a labyrinth of narrow walkways that snaked and twined through the green. Above the rooftops, gondolas like gaily painted buckets swung from cables, skimming from hilltop to hilltop, moving between high towers where windspinners turned. To the northeast, Maya could see a long train moving across the lower deck of the Bay Bridge, bringing early grain to the central market. Beyond, the blades of the wind generators atop the Golden Gate Bridge seemed suspended in midair, their supports invisible under a gray shroud of fog. Beautiful, Maya thought. She had adored the city ever since her first glimpse of it in the Summer of Love, more than 80 years before. She had been 17 then, enchanted by the fog concealing and revealing mysteries like the veils of an exotic dancer, delighted by the crowded streets where people seemed to be perpetually in costume. Gypsies, pirates, Indians, sorceresses skipping down the sidewalks to the strains of the Beatles singing, "Love, love, love." "You have been my most constant love," she told the city silently. "Not monogamous, but never unfaithful. Sometimes a bit tawdry, but never boring. And you haven't gone and died on me yet, like the others." "Love is all you need," the song played in her mind. "But the Beatles misled us," she said to the air, thick with the ghosts of her own dead lovers. "It wasn't all we needed. We wanted to love, freely and without barriers. We had to remake the world in order to do it." Sighing, she continued up the steep incline. "The truth is," she admitted, "this is a hell of a climb for an old hag like me. I could have spared my strength, let Madrone visit the shrines." The shrines to the four sacred things encircled the base of the hill at the cardinal directions. Maya had made a laborious circuit. She left seeds of rare herbs at the earth shrine, feathers of sea birds and roosters at the air shrine. At the fire shrine, she gave white sage and black sage and cedar, and at the water shrine, she'd left a jar of rainwater saved from the first storms of the previous autumn. But Madrone probably wouldn't have time. "I know how it goes," Maya grumbled. "She's probably up to her elbows in blood and vernix, lucky if she can dash up the hill at the last minute. I'm fussy in my old age. An orthodox pagan, I like these rituals done right. A leisurely visit to each shrine, a walk up the processional way, time to meditate, contemplate, trance out a bit." The path wound its way above the small reservoir dug into the side of the hill. Now she could hear the little stream that tumbled down a sculpted watercourse to feed the gardens along her own street. There were so many more gardens these days. By necessity, now that the Central Valley farmlands were baked to rock by the heat and the fires. "Look at it!" Maya paused again, breathing heavily. The city was a place of riotous flowers and clambering vines and trees whose boughs were heavy with ripening fruit. "It looks so lush." She took a long, deep breath, then another. "You'd think we had plenty of everything, plenty of land, plenty of water. Whereas we've simply learned how not to waste, how to use and reuse every drop, how to feed chickens on weeds and ducks on snails and let worms eat the garbage. We've become such artists of unwaste, we can almost compensate for the damage. Almost. If we don't think about the bodies mummifying in mass graves over the East Bay Hills, if we ignore the stewards' armies that may be gathering, for all we know, just over the border. Well, we made our choice." She started uphill again. "We chose food over weapons, and so here we sit, lovely but as unarmed as the Venus de Milo." As she neared the crest, the path wound across the west side of the hill. In the distance, she could see twin peaks poking above a patch of fog like two brown breasts sticking out of a milk bath. "You hear that, Johanna?"